Yo, what's up? This your homeboy Ice Cube. You know what you're doing. You're checking out the Dana Cortez Show. Yay!
The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Cube.
Yay.
Ice Cube. I'm not gonna lie. Our producer said it's actually Ice Cube. It's not like a handler. You don't have anybody connecting you to calls or anything like that. We just pick up and there you are.
Nah. Yeah, I call direct. I don't use. Because it ends up being, you know, kind of a cluster, you know what? When everybody's calling and linking, let me hook you up. When I could just call myself. Like, I'm right here. I'm ready for the call.
I'm a fully capable adult.
Man, totally.
You know why Ice Cube is relevant decade after decade? Because he's a real one. I met you years ago, and you never changed. Here we are, obviously, this tour. This is the first time you've headlined a tour. And how long? How long has it been, Cube?
It's been a minute. You know, doing a big production like this.
Yes.
Not since like Up in Smoke. And I wasn't even the headliner on that, but it's just, it's been forever. So it's time. It's time to do it right.
Of course, the Truth to Power 4 Decades of Attitude Tour is going to be right here in the Mile High City at Ball Arena, September 16th, 2025. But you said something real quick. You said something, Cube, but I wasn't the headliner. I've seen your shows and nobody wants to go after you.
No.
Like, nobody wants to be on stage after you. Where does that level of the performance that you put on and the level of energy, where does that come from?
It's all I know. This is how we started coming up, you know, before we knew we was going to be famous or anything. Mm-hmm. You had to give 110% on stage. You had to rap for real. You couldn't just rely on the record. You had to show energy and keep the people interested and then come with the hits. That's all I know. That's what I've been doing for 40 years, and I can't do it no other way.
Speaking of 40 years, you've been in the game for a very long time. You and LL Cool J were really the first teenage hip hop stars. How did you meet Dr. Dre? How did you meet Eazy-E? How did all this come about?
I met Dr. Dre because Sir Jinx, who was one of my producers for a long time, he moved on our street. Like, I was in the sixth grade, he was in the fifth grade. He moved on our street. He was the only one that was into hip hop on the street. Mm. We were all into sports, you know, sports, gangbanging and girls or whatever. But he was into hip hop, you know, spinning on his head and asking my pops for cardboard and all this stuff. So I was interested in the music, too. So I would go down there and just trip off him. Graffiti, do everything. And his cousin happened to be Dr. Dre.
Oh, and, my gosh.
I'm like, Dr. Dre was the only person I knew that had a record out. And he was with the record crew. It was amazing to meet him. And once I rapped for him, he kind of just took me under his wing. And I started helping him write, you know, songs for the record crew. And this other dude come around. He was from Compton, you know, young, you know, D-Boy named Eric Wright. He was just interested in the music, interested in what we was doing, the DJing. He heard some mixtapes that we did that were street.
Right.
And he was like, why y'all not doing records like this? He's like, man, this will never get played on the radio. What are you talking about? He was like, nah, we need to do records like this. So I wrote him a record called Boys in the Hood. You know, it's in the movie how it went down, but I ended up writing him a record, and that record blow us up. And then we just kind of start going on our natural path.
That story, it seems so condensed, right? In this 2-minute conversation we've only been talking for 2 minutes, but you're talking about years and years of friendships and talking and the good and the bad and everything in between. You and the whole crew you just spoke of changed hip hop. You made hip hop the most popular music in the world. I've always said this, not because I'm talking to you. I've always said that this moment for me, the movement from the West Coast, in my opinion, introduced hip hop to the rest of the country. You had the most white, and I'm just going to say it, whitest neighborhoods singing N.W.A. out loud, you know, wearing the shirts, wearing the caps. It changed the music scene in general. So I think E saw something in, he heard the truth. He heard the power in what you guys were rapping about. And so did everybody else.
You know, I don't want to take that much credit, but I'm going
to
say this.
To the masses, yes.
I'm going to say this. You know, we were trying to make records to go on the radio. We were trying to make records that was, acceptable, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't work. You know, they was flops. Once Easy was like, man, my record label, Ruthless, is going to be dedicated to real records, you know, reality rap, records about what's going on, street knowledge. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So once we focus on the reality of what we was living through and we was able to put that in musical form, that was the, you know, magic bullet, so to speak, that just blew it up. You know, once we was true to ourselves, the music blew up from there.
Cube, I feel that because when I first started radio, I'll just tell you, I was 15 when I had my first child. I come from an impoverished, you know, barrio situation. I didn't know my dad, like all these things. And everybody, I'm getting choked up now. Everybody I knew in radio had this perfect life. And I was like, how am I going to hide all this? And I started talking on the radio. I tried to pretend to be this other person. And I said, I can't do that. The moment I opened up and became myself, that's when everything turned around for me. Because everybody's got problems. You know, you got to be authentic and you got to be real.
Got to be, you know, like, and you'll love yourself more than trying to hide and trying to, like, almost be ashamed of who you are.
Yes, sir.
It's like, no, this is who I am. And this is why I've gotten this far, because of the adversity. You know, I look at adversity and smile at it. And
same.
People need to know that because you can help them. You know what I'm saying? You can help too.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of helping yourself, okay, in my opinion, No Vaseline, hands down, the greatest diss record of all time.
Automatic fight. I mean, he will fight you.
What is the second best diss record in your opinion?
Oh, wow. There's so many good ones.
You can give me a top three so you don't have to.
Let me tell you why No Vaseline is the top one.
All right.
That's probably better.
All right.
Because it's the top one because it's a family feud. Mm. And nothing gets more vicious than a family feud. But you cannot deny Not Like Us is like crazy, huge, won a Grammy, played at the Super Bowl. You know, that's...
Yes.
Yeah, you can't deny that record. Like, no.
Yeah, you can't deny that record. And it's definitely giving No Vaseline a run for his money. But No Vaseline is a family feud. And that's why it's... It's the top because those are the most crazy.
I think top three, No Vaseline. I got to give Tupac, Hit Him Up, because I just, man, he came out the gate. I was like, oh my God, I can't even say this.
You got to show some East Coast love for Ether.
I mean, without a doubt, Ether, like crazy. It's like one of the best. But, you know, they've been doing it forever since LL and Kumo D and 50 and Ja Rule, you know,
even,
you know how to do it.
I've heard you speak. You just mentioned Kendrick. Obviously, Kendrick, you know, when it comes to the rap beef, he won this battle. He won the war, to be honest, in my opinion, personally. And I love both artists. I just want to put that out there. I'm a Drake fan. I love Drake. And I know that Drake, he's been a fan of yours for years. How's your relationship today with Drake?
Yeah, because he said his first show that he ever opened up for was you.
I heard him talk about it. He said he'll never forget that. I think you were the first person that ever gave him money or something, like $50. I don't remember what it was.
Well, you know, that was his very, very first show.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was really more promoter pushed on him being on the show.
Right.
Sometimes we get them promoters be like, yo, we got this other kid opening up.
Janky promoters, I know.
yeah, let him go for it. You know, so I think it was a situation like that. But we've always been cool. You know, we don't have a real tight relationship at all. You know, it's more admiring from afar. You know, he came out here one time and I jumped on stage and did a couple of classics, you know, West Coast classics. And so it's always been cool. You know, I always admired his Get Down, very talented. And so, you know, but I don't really have a close or any kind of relationship with Drake, to be honest.
What about Kendrick? Are you guys pretty tight? Do you speak to him on a regular?
I don't speak to him on a regular either. You know, he's doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been mutual respect. You know, he's always shown us love. He came to my Coachella show, jumped on stage and turned it out. And, you know, he's done Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for NWA, helped us get inducted and did the speech. And he did a couple of interviews with us. And it's always been a mutual respect. And, you know, I got nothing but love and his career is incredible.
You come full circle with the NWA. I know, obviously, everybody knows the falling out, then the coming back and coming to terms with how everything played out. How does that moment feel with the whole Hall of Fame and everything? How does that feel for you?
It was bittersweet because Easy wasn't there.
Man.
You know, and I could just hear him in the back. Like, I told you, you know, that was his favorite thing. You know, if he told you it was going to happen and it happened, he was going to let you know in real time. I told you, didn't I tell you? Okay, listen to me. And he would have been back there saying, see, you did it our way. Here we are. You know, I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They have to switch up.
So what can we expect on the Truth to Power tour? What are we going to see? Are we going to all of Ice Cube? We're going to get the newer stuff. What's coming on?
Yeah, 40 years, baby.
40 years. So we're doing it all.
The man down, doing it all. Not only doing it all, but showing the journey and showing what influenced me in these different decades and why the music came out the way it did. It's kind of like a look into my brain for 40 years. And so it's going to be pretty cool.
You know, I saw you in San Antonio in Texas. You performed NWA stuff on stage. And
that was the first time I'd ever seen you do that.
I'd never seen you do that. And you shut that place down.
If you've seen me before, it don't matter. You got to come to this one. Because this one's, you know, over 2 hours of going deep into the catalog. So it's going to be fun.
I've probably seen you close to 10 times, and every single time you kill it.
And Cube, the fact that people bring their children, it's like it's amazing to see how far hip hop has come. And you've been a part of it since the beginning, sir, since the beginning.
It's beautiful, you know, to see generational fans, you know, because we all know the OGs and the day ones going to be there. But it's cool when the Generation Z and, you know, the millennials, you know what I'm saying? They come through, or millennials, they come through and they bring their people. They not just coming with their parents, they fans, because they might have seen Straight out of Compton. They might have thought I was just into movies, and now they realize how deep I am in the music and just now getting hip to that part of my career. So it's always turning, you know, from kids that like, are we there yet? Now they're grown. They have kids showing them, are we there yet? It's just, it's always churning, which is cool.
There's nobody else but Cube that can do Are We There Yet and No Vaseline. And you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, thank you so much for the time, sir. Woo! Ball Arena, Denver, September 16th, 2025. Cube, we love you. We'll see you there. Thank you for your time, sir. Woo!
Anytime. Get them tickets now. Pre-sales up.
All right. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Right. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Yo, what's up? This your homeboy, Ice Cube. You know what you're doing. You're checking out the Dana Cortez Show. Yay, yay!
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.